Hey everyone, thanks for joining us here today. So I want to start with something that, to be honest, might be a little bit disconcerting at first for you to think through and think about, but you'll understand why we're going there in just a minute. So I want you to start by imagining that you're on your way to a funeral. So you drive, you pull up to the funeral parlor or the church building where the funeral is, and you get out and you walk into the doors and notice right away there's a ton of people there. There's a lot of people, and the vast majority of them you know them very well. They're family members, there's some friends, some coworkers, some other people from the community that you know. And then you walk up to the front and you walk up to the casket and you look in the casket and you notice that it's you. You have just come to listen to your own funeral. I know, again, I told you this is going to be a little disconcerting, but think about that. And then I want you to imagine that you look at the program and you notice that there's a whole bunch of different people that are about to speak about you and your life. The question I have for you is this. What do you hope those people say about you? What do you hope or what do you think they will say about you? Just think about that question. And while you do, let me kind of give you the official welcome. So I want to just say welcome to Northridge Church. Even though what I just said may have kind of scared you off a little bit, I do want to let you know that our church is a safe place for you, no matter where you are in your journey with God. Maybe you've been walking with God for a really long time. Maybe you're brand new in your faith in Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're just kind of on the fence. You're not sure where you're at with God. Or you know you don't believe in God, and it's because you don't have a relationship or any of that. And so you just maybe have some questions about faith, about the Bible, about God, about Jesus, about life. And so no matter where you are on that spectrum, this is a safe place for you. And no, we don't normally start with questions of, illustrations of going to a funeral. But today it's really important because we're going to be digging into a question that deals with that. So we're just glad that you're here. So we are in a series that is called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And we're basing it on the book by Stephen Covey of the same name called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So we want you to know that the ideas and the stories and a lot of the information that we're sharing, not only today, but the last couple of weeks and in the future weeks of this series, come from his book. But we're also tying that with the principles that God talks about in his word in the Bible as well. So last week we talked about habit number 1. Today we're going to get into habit number 2, which is this. Begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. So let me go back to the illustration that I started with just a few moments ago. You're at the funeral, people are getting ready to speak, and the question I asked you is, what are they going to say about you? What do you hope they say about you? Do you think that they're going to talk about how you treated them? About what was most important in your life? About the time that you spent, the majority of your time was spent on such and such, or these kinds of things, or this person, or focusing on this stuff. What are they going to say about your life? So today, as we talk about begin with the end in mind, the question that you might have is, well, why do we need to do that? What is the importance of understanding or focusing or thinking about the end as we walk through life? Well, I could give you a lot of reasons for that, but I want to focus on 2 main reasons today. And those 2 main reasons are, 1, if we have the end in mind, then that helps us determine or dictates what our daily life looks like, what we do in life, and how we do life. The other reason is because it gives us a direction. It tells us what our purpose is, where we're headed, and why we're headed there. Without the direction, we don't know where we're going. It's just like if I were to hop in the vehicle with my family and I ask my wife or ask, one of my kids to punch the direction in or the location into the navigation system or into a phone that we're following. And then they would ask me, well, Dad, where are we going? What's the address? And I would say, I don't know. Let's just go. Just punch something in. Let's do this. Well, the problem is, of course, we can drive. We can definitely follow the navigation, but if we don't know where we're going, we're not going to get to where we need to go. It's the same way with God in our life. So we're going to talk about those two aspects, our daily life and knowing our direction. So let me start with an illustration. Anytime anybody or a group or a company builds a building, it could be a house or a skyscraper or a business, a commercial building, doesn't matter what type of building, you always have to start with a plan. Isn't that right? You always have to start with a blueprint of some kind. Why? Because the plan tells everybody, this is what we're going for. This is what we're going to do. This is what it's going to look like. And then as a result of that, the plan dictates what everybody does on a daily basis that's working on the project, right? So the construction crew shows up. What's the first thing they need to know? They need to know what the plan is. Well, the plan is dictated by the blueprint. This is what we're actually trying to build. And so a construction crew doesn't show up one day and look at the blank ground and just say, let's just start digging a hole. Let's make a star shape. Let's make an oval shape. They can't make whatever shape they want. Why? Because they need to follow the plan. The blueprint, the plan, dictates how they build it, when they build, what order they build it in, how to pour the foundation, how big the foundation is going to be, where the rooms are going to go, how big the rooms are going to be when they're cutting boards, you know, how tall the studs are going to be because of how tall the ceilings are. All of those things, what they do in their daily life every single day is dictated, determined by the plan. Well, in the same way, God has a plan for you. He has a blueprint for me. He has a blueprint for every person on this planet. And that blueprint helps us understand what we're doing in life, what we need to do in daily life, what's going to be the most important thing to focus on. Let me try to give you an example of this from Scripture, from God's Word, from the Bible. So Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So a lot of times I think that as human beings, and I even sometimes think this way, that God is just kind of trying to control us or force us into a box or, you know, do these things, don't do these things. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this, right? But thou shalt do these things, you know, King James Version. And we kind of think God has a plan for us, but he's really trying to control us. It seems like it's a very controlling thing. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. When in reality, God's plan for you and for me is actually to free us. It's to free us up to do the things that God made us to do within the plan that he created for each one of us. It gives us purpose in everyday life so that when we wake up, we know what we're about, what we need to be about. Now, we may not know the exact details of how the day is going to go, but God guides and directs that because we have the ultimate plan. We know what we're building. We know what we're doing. In fact, I would say this. If you're struggling in daily life, if you kind of feel like you're on a hamster wheel and you're running and you're, but you're not getting anywhere, you know, if you see a gerbil or a hamster and they're running, they run, and their little legs, they go so fast. But when you watch them, they're not going anywhere. They're not actually doing anything. They're just moving. They're just running. Does anybody else feel that way in life right now? Can I just be honest? During COVID-19, during this season, especially for me, there are other times that this has been true for me. But during COVID-19, I have found myself for sometimes a whole day, sometimes even several days at a time, just kind of losing my excitement and my motivation and my purpose. Partly because I love being around and with people, and we haven't been able to do that. But I think I've just allowed the problems of our day, the pandemic and all the other things that our country and our nation and our world are dealing with, to kind of get at me. And so I've forgotten the plan. I've forgotten what God wants me to be about on a daily basis. And so let me just encourage you, if you're struggling with kind of that daily life, what's your purpose? What should you be about? I would encourage you, go back to the original plan that God has called you to have. The blueprint that he's drawn up for you and only you, specifically you. When you do that, when we do that, it will give us increased purpose, greater motivation and will experience greater joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment like we've never known before. So if you're struggling in daily life, I just want to encourage you to go back to the original plan that God has for you. So the first reason that we need to know the end in mind is because it dictates our daily life, what we do in life, how we do life. But the other reason we need to know it is for our direction. Now, the question you might be wondering is, well, what is the end? Maybe that was the first question you asked is, okay, we begin with the end in mind, and you're thinking, is that the funeral that you asked about earlier? Is that, you know, death? Is that, what is the end that we're talking about? And why is it important that we actually even think about what the end is? Well, let me try to illustrate why the end, knowing the end, and what we're shooting for, what the target is so important. I'm going to use an illustration that Stephen Covey uses in his book. So just imagine that every part or all of your life is like climbing a ladder. So you're climbing the ladder, you're doing the best you can in your job and your career. You're doing the best job that you can as a father, as a mother, as a wife, as a husband, as a child, and whatever the case is, whatever role you have. You're just doing your best. You're climbing the ladder. You're climbing the ladder. You're trying to climb in your career, right? You're trying to get promoted. You're trying to do all these things. So let's say that we're all climbing these ladders, and we all are, right? We're all climbing the ladder of life. The problem is that a lot of people, sometimes me included, we forget to stop and consider whether or not the ladder that we're climbing is leaning against the right wall. That matters, doesn't it? Because here's the issue. If we're just working, we're going crazy. We're climbing that ladder. We are killing it, right? We are doing great. We've been promoted like 3 times in the last, 4 years. Man, this is awesome. We are climbing the ladder. Our family's doing great. We're climbing the ladder. That's great. But the problem is if we're climbing the ladder as fast as we can, but it's leaning against the wrong wall, all we're doing is getting to the wrong place faster. That's it. We're getting to the wrong place faster. And what God invites you and I to do is to do something completely different than that. He invites you and I, he challenges you and I, he commands you and I to center our life around the right thing, to lean our ladder against the correct wall. Now, the question is, what is that? Well, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, the center of our life, the correct wall, the thing that we need to be focused on is God. God has to be the hub. God has to be the center of everything we're about in life. Now, that's not to say that there's a lot of other things that aren't, important in life. There are. Tons of things are important in life. But when we center our life, we find our worth and our value apart from God, and we put it on somebody else or something else, then our life is going to fall short. We're going to be climbing the ladder, and it's going to be against the wrong wall. Let me try to illustrate some things or mention a few things that we tend to center our life around that is less than God. Now, keep in mind that most of these things I'm going to mention, they're not bad things. They're really, really good things. But they're not the center things. So what are some things that we center our life around that's not God? One thing that we do is our marriage. A lot of us are marriage-centered people. We center our entire life, our worth, our value around our marriage, whether or not we have a marriage. If we do have a marriage, how well that marriage is going, what our spouse is doing, how our spouse is treating us, and our worth and our value and everything we see and how our life is going is tied emotionally and physically and psychologically to another person. The problem is God says we can't tie our worth to another person. Another thing that we center our life around sometimes other than God is our family. Again, keep in mind, I'm not saying these things are bad. Our family is so, so important, so good. We need to be faithful to our family, our spouse, and our children. But if we center our whole life, if we find our worth and our value just in our family, apart from God, that family's going to let us down. How many of you have a perfect family? Me neither. I don't either. I don't have a perfect family. I love my family, but I don't have a perfect family. They let me down sometimes. Do you know what? I let my family down sometimes. I do. I let my wife down. I let my kids down. If they are centering their value and their worth based on what I think of them or how I treat them or what I say to them, that's wrong. Their value comes from God. We can't be family-centered. We also can't be money-centered. A lot of people are money-centered. Their worth comes from their net worth. Enough said, right? We can't center it around money and success that way. A lot of people are work-centered. They're workaholics. They put their worth and their value as to how hard they work or how much they're honored at work by their boss or their, you know, the authority figure over them or how much money or how much success they have in their career. You hear a lot of people say, I am a pastor or I am a doctor or I am a nurse or I am a construction worker. That's not who you are. That's what you do. A pastor is what I do, but my worth is not tied to what I do. My worth is tied to the fact that God made me and that I'm a child of God. Simple. In fact, we know this deep down because think about it this way. If I was not a pastor, if I was, say, a construction worker or a computer analyst or, you know, a CPA or something like that, if I was one of those things, but I am who I am and God created me to be those things, would I have less self-worth, less value? No, because my value is not tied to my career. It's not tied to what I do. It's tied to who I am. Now, who I am, my blueprint dictates what I do. So it's in reverse of sometimes how we play it. So we can't be work-centered. There's some other things. Possession-centered. A lot of people center their life around their possessions, about what they have, about how much they own. Another thing is pleasure-centered. Some people, you might know some people in your life like this. They are always living for the next weekend. They're always living for the next vacation. They're always living for the next, you know, thing, the next moment to go gambling or the next moment they can, you know, be alone with this person that they shouldn't be alone with. An affair, maybe outside of a marriage. This is how affairs start within or outside of marriages. It's because people are looking to fulfill their desires and their pleasures rather than their God-given core values. We can't be pleasure-centered. Some people are friend and enemy centered. This is something that kind of plagues a lot of younger people. This is not exclusive to younger people. I see a lot of adults deal with this, but this is when we are looking for our value and our worth in being accepted by a person or a group of people. We are looking for their approval of our life. God says, no, my approval is all that matters. We should treat other people with love and respect, absolutely. But we don't look for the worth of our life based on their approval of us. Let me give you two more. Some people live church-centered. Yep, that's right, church-centered. Now, this is very gray area because sometimes somebody who is really church-centered can look like they're centering their whole life on God. But then when you take away the church piece, their faith falls apart. This is when people find their worth and their value in looking good and looking right and looking pious or faithful in front of other people. This is when they hold their value according to the church traditions or the calendar. Here's something that I know we all know. A person can be a faithful attender to church, but not a faithful follower of Jesus. Isn't that true? We can't center it on church. Church is closely tied to our faith, so critically important to our faith in our life, but we can't center everything on it. The last one I would give you is that we can sometimes be self-centered. We know that's a term, right? Self-centeredness. This is a person who centers their entire worth and their value around whether or not their needs, their desires, their feelings are being met. They're self-centered rather than God-centered. Now, how we manage our life is dictated by how we think life should be. So those things that I just mentioned, if we're self-centered or money-centered or work-centered or friend-centered or whatever the case is, if we are centered on those things, then we are going to focus and spend our time and our energy and our everything trying to seek our worth and approval from that person or that thing. So our life, how we manage our life, has to be dictated by what we think life is about. Let me illustrate this with a quote. So Peter Drucker, who is a, you know, he's a famous kind of business guru kind of guy. He said this, and it really illustrates this point so well. He said, management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. Do you see the difference in those two? Management is doing things right, but leadership is doing the right things. So how we live life is determined by whether or not we're climbing the right ladder against the right wall. It is determined by that. In fact, if we don't stop to consider what the end should look like, what we really should be living for, it's kind of like, you know, straightening the deck chairs on the Titanic, the ship, the Titanic. It's kind of like, you know, we can work our tails off. We can do everything we can to learn how to straighten deck chairs correctly. We can treat the people on the ship just really, really well and be really nice and really kind. We can be a good person. We can work our tails off. We can be successful. We can be the best person to straighten deck chairs that has ever lived on the planet. Here's the problem. It's great that you work so hard to straighten all the deck chairs. Here's the issue. It's a sinking ship. If the ladder's against the wrong wall, it doesn't matter how fast we climb it. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. We're going the wrong direction. We've centered our life on something that is less than God. And this is what God calls us to do, is to center our life on the best thing, not just some good things. Let me try to illustrate this. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this. It says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. What is that saying? It's saying that the end is eternity. It's saying that the end that we should have in mind is not retirement, is not the best marriage that we could possibly have. Again, I'm not saying those things are bad, but that's not the end. Death is not the end. The end for you and I, for every person, regardless of whether we believe in God or, you know, eternity or not, the end is eternity. When we die, it is not the end. God is so clear in his word over and over and over again. After we pass from this earth, there's another existence. We pass into eternity. And that's what God is saying to you and I. Live not just for this life temporarily, but live for eternity. Live in such a way that our relationship with God, we're training ourselves to be able to spend the rest of eternity in God's presence. So we need to practice being in God's presence now here on earth. Let me try to illustrate this in another way. The Apostle Paul puts it in his own words in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. He says this. He says, I do everything to spread the good news, that is the news of Jesus, and share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in every race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. What he's saying is I'm not just going through the motions. I'm not just living life willy-nilly at will, you know, just randomly. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. I live according to what God wants me to do. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. What is the Apostle Paul saying there? Very simply, he's saying this. All of us run the race of life. Every human being runs the race of life. We're all in the same race. We're all doing life together. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is, not everybody runs to win. God has given every person the opportunity to have the prize, salvation, Jesus. The question is, are we running the race to win? Or are we just running? There's a funny movie. It's a kid's movie. It's called The Croods. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's an animated movie. But there's a scene where the father and his teenage daughter are having a conversation. And the father is trying to explain to his daughter about how they need to keep living life the same so that they can stay safe. And his teenage daughter says something so powerful, so profound in this movie. She says this to her father. She says, "That's not living. That's just not dying." And then she says, "There's a difference." It's a powerful statement in a silly kids movie. It's a powerful thought. Just not dying is not what God called us to do. God calls us to live with purpose, to live according to the blueprint that He created for us, and to live with the end, eternity, in mind. So I want to leave you with this final question. In fact, I would encourage you to ponder this question for the next few moments. Maybe this is something where you need to spend the next few days, or maybe for the next year, like just several times each day, or for a length of time each week, you need to ponder this question and really consider this question. And the question is this: what should you be about more than anything else in life? What should you be about more than anything else in life? The answer to that question will tell you how to live and where your life is going. What should be the most important thing? What should you be about more than anything else in all of life? You're determining whether or not the ladder you're climbing is actually leaning against the right wall. I invite you to consider that. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to be honest with you and with ourselves, to ask the question, where am I headed? Where's my life going? What is truly the most important thing in my life that I'm living for right now? And if the answer to that is not you, God, I pray that you would help us to turn back to you. For those who have never turned to you, I pray that they would do that for the first time. I pray this and I ask this in the amazing name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as always, I want you to know, I love you. God loves you.